just going to go straight to the Word tonight. And we've been doing a series, I don't even know how many months now, on the book of James. And so we're gonna kind of shut down chapter 4, and we'll go into our last part of the book of James starting next week. But if you're looking at it online, it's the title is Let It Grow, talking about your faith and what God's wanting to do in your life, that there's going to come a point in time that you got to step back and you got to let the seeds that God has planted in your hearts grow. You can't just sit there and expect immediate growth in life. You know, you can't sit there and expect that today, if you just started trying, that you're going to have an end result by tonight. I tell people all the time, we deal with a lot of people with addictions, and it's something we deal with almost every day. And I tell them, listen, if you're going to start trying to quit your addiction, don't expect by the end of the night to be done with it. It's going to take time. You just got to have that desire that you're going to pursue that freedom at all costs. And you're going to have to stay consistent, because you're going to fall down. And when you do, get back up. And we give them all kinds of visuals. I know we do it with our teenagers. We tell them, get a calendar. You know, put a green X for every day you survive without that addiction. Put a red X for every day that you fall flat. And then set goals. That today you're going to have one green X. This month you want one green X. Two in a row. And instead of trying to quit by the lifetime, quit by the moment. Because every moment you need His strength to be renewed in your life. And every moment you need His guidance to be there. Matter of fact, we're working on something with our virtual church. We're calling it, you know, prescription pads. You know, you go to the doctor with an illness, he writes you a prescription and sends you to get what you need to help you overcome it. And I don't know why we don't do it at church. And we were kind of brainstorming with one of the kind of founders of that virtual church in Illinois. And we were just saying, why doesn't the church do that? Why don't we have little cards where if somebody's struggling with their anger, we just give them a prescription card, and on the back of it, there's verses, power verses that they can memorize, put in their lives, that'll give them the cure to that anger. And yeah, I'm going to say this. Listen, the cure to everything we struggle with can be found in God's Word. The cure to every answer we need can be found in God's Word. If you need peace in your life, let's write that prescription on a card and throw it out there. Take it home. Ingrain this in your mind. You know, how many times in the Scriptures do you see where He says, write this down. Put this in your hearts. Put this in your minds. Don't forget it. And a lot of times in life, we get impatient. Anybody like that struggle with patience today? I think that's the thing I hate the most, right? Is when someone says, just be patient. You know, it really just kind of makes me cringe. I've been raised in a society, and it is all around us, that, hey man, we want it now. We want it here, right here. If I need an answer, give it to me. You know, and a lot of times God plants something in our hearts that He wants to accomplish, something that He wants to do. And when we don't see the immediate growth, we quit. We give up. You know, I've heard many married couples give me this. They said, well, I went home from counseling and I tried what you said and they didn't respond, so it doesn't work. And I'm like, well, how long did you try it? Well, you know, I went home that night. Well, listen, can I tell you this? If all you've done is be mean to them for the past 20 years, don't think that one night of kindness is going to heal that. It's going to take some time. So you plant the seed and then you let it grow. And the Bible says that it's tribulation that helps our endurance grow, our patience grow. It's trials that help us grow stronger. It's our weaknesses that help us rely on His strengths. And so tonight, church, we're 5 years into the ministry and we're reaping things that we planted 5 years ago. And today we're planting new things. We've been in meetings all day. We've been brainstorming, praying for guidance all day long from the very beginning this morning all the way through. I've had multiple meetings where we're planning and seeking God, and we're planting seeds that, you know what? We don't expect them to be successful by next month. We're just trusting that God is going to do it in His time, and we're going to let it grow at God's pace and let Him do what He wants to do. But we know this, that anything God plants produces a harvest, and it's always more. It's always an increase to what we planted in the first place. We use that analogy in that Power of the Seed series that we did at the beginning of this year, where we simply said, if you plant one kernel of corn, you don't only get one in return. No, you get an ear of corn that could have 20, 30, 40. You get few ears of corn on that stalk. One kernel of corn, properly planted, nurtured, and waited on, could produce hundreds, if not thousands, of kernels. And it's the same way with God. Can I say this? And listen, this holiday season, invest $10 into somebody's life. $10. into somebody, some family that's in need, just something minimal. And I'll guarantee you that when God rewards you, it'll come back greater than you planned it. I don't know about you, but the opportunities I have in my life are bigger than what I deserve to have. Anybody else feel like that? They're more grand. They're more wonderful than I deserve. The things that are around me. And it's not that I earn them. It's just that God rewards greater than we give. And that's why it says, give to me and I'll press it down and give it back. And I love it. I told people this afternoon, that's my favorite passage of scripture. Because when it comes to God saying, test me, try me, and I'll prove it. That's the only part of the Bible where God says, don't believe me, try me. He says, man, you give and I'll give it back. Don't believe it, just try it out. You know, it's almost like God saying, I'll prove it to you. So today we're going to look at something in the book of James. We're going to start there at the end of the passage, verse number 13. And we're going to look at something where God's talking about our self-confidence. Now, how many of you would agree that self-worth is important in your life? You need to realize that you're valuable. And you need to realize that you matter, you belong. It's when you don't have any self-worth that you get used by other people, you get ran over by other people, you get broken. And it's when you don't have any self-worth that you do harm to yourself, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. You'll think thoughts that you don't even need to have any business hanging out around. They'll come into your mind. I mean, it amazes me how many people, matter of fact, let's look at this tonight. How many of you at some point in your life have had that thought that the world would be better off without me? Anybody done that? Would you slip your hand up? Just raise it high. Let's look. You ever thought my wife would be better off? My husband would be better off? My kids would be better? I mean, how many of you realize that that's a total lie? Anybody, you know? There'd be a lot of pain created if you were missing. I've never been to a funeral where they high five and say, I'm glad they're gone. Never once. Even those that didn't like the people show up and at least pretend that they're sad that they're gone. You know, I realized something in life that every person that I've ever met, every person you've ever met, including you, including me in your life, every one of those carry a value. They carry God's plan. They carry God's purpose. And they were designed to accomplish something with their lives. And when I view you as valuable and you view me as valuable, then we can accomplish great things. But there can be an area of life where you go too far with your self-confidence. How many of you realize that arrogance is never a good thing? It never accomplishes anything. I heard just a couple days ago, somebody sent me a video of something they weren't wanting to try in church. And in that video, it said something to the effect of, I want you to take a journey to a place that you're proud. Go back to a memory where you're proud of yourself and let your pride grow. Feel that accomplishment. Pat yourself on the back and realize that you're something great. And I said, that has no business in the church. Because anything that me and you have ever accomplished, it's by His grace that that's been done. And if we're standing there and we're saying, oh yes, my pride is going to motivate me. No, your pride's going to destroy you. And in this passage, here's what He says, look here. Now that, anytime somebody says, look here, that's never a good thing. You know, it says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. It goes on in the next verse number 14. He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is nothing. It's like the morning fog. Look at this. It says it's here just a little while and then it's gone. The older I get, the more I realize how fragile life actually is. Anybody else realizing that? When you're young, I felt so invincible. I did some really stupid things. I mean, physically stupid things when I was young. Anybody else do that? Now my knees kind of pay the price for it. But, you know, we used to do little rock climbing things. We'd climb 100-foot little rock faces, no ropes or anything. You know, and nothing's going to happen to me, right? Nothing's going to happen to you. Now that I'm older, I'm kind of like freaking out over everything. You know, I get out of bed and sometimes I have to debate if it's too far to step, you know? Am I going to break my hip? I'm just kidding. But the thing is the older I get, the more fragile life is. The more valuable life is. I've realized sometimes in life you have these moments that only come once. You ever had one of those moments? Kind of like your first kiss. That only comes once. You know, your first date, it only comes once. hopefully when you got married, that only comes once. And when you look at it, you realize that if it's only going to happen one time, then I better invest a lot of thought into that. I better make some plans. But the truth is, the Bible says that if you're living your life based on what's going to happen tomorrow, and if you're living your life based on what you're going to accomplish tomorrow, then there is too much self-confidence in your life, because your life is not guaranteed to be here tomorrow. If tomorrow you're going to hug your children, it might be too late. If tomorrow you're going to apologize, it might be too late. And he's saying here, hey, it's like that morning fog. You wake up and you can't hardly see, but by noon, it's normally gone. And that's how life is. Listen, it fades so quickly. Look at verse 15. It says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. See, we live in a generation that lives one or two ways. And think about this. Evaluate yourself. I'm going to speak about my own self right here, okay? I normally have my mind in either one or two places, in the future of what we need to accomplish or in the past of what's been accomplished. And there's rarely those times that I'm living in the present. Now, you say, what are you trying to admit? I'm simply saying this. Sometimes we're too busy to realize that this moment is all we're guaranteed. And we're trying to plan what we're going to do for Christmas. We're trying to plan what we're going to do next year. We're trying to plan when we're going to raise this money, build this building, establish this. We're trying to focus on everything that we may do in 2018. And the truth is that the church may not even be living on this planet in 2018. Jesus Christ could come back and take us home, and then we're living in heaven. And so what does those plans even matter? The truth is, what matters is, right now, I've got this moment to spend with you. Right now, you've got this moment to sit by that person. Right now, you have this moment to secure and to make sure that those that are around you know Jesus Christ, and make sure that those that are around you know that you love them. And that's why we see verses in the Bible where it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't sit here and store up for tomorrow. All these things, he says, man, remember that guy, he had all these barns and they were so full, and he's celebrating how much he has, and God shows up and says, you fool, today, tonight, your soul, it's required, tonight it's over, and somebody else gets all of that. So what good was all that hard work? What good was all that overtime? What good was all those things? Now, I'm not coming at you tonight trying to be morbid and say, you know, hey, listen, you might die. That's not it. We all know at some point, if God lets us live a life that's natural, we're going to pass on. Anybody say, you know, I've kind of accepted that reality, all right? You're not forever. And thank God for that. I don't want to live this way forever. Anybody else like that? I long for the day where I don't have to war within myself. I long for the day that the temptation's not there, that the weakness isn't there, that I don't have to sit there and look in the mirror and be ashamed. I long for the day that I look in the mirror and the mirror doesn't have glass, it has the face of Jesus Christ. And I see that I am like him, and I am made whole, and I am made righteous, and forever we're the same. And so when I see him, I see me. When he sees me, he sees himself. What a day that's going to be. I look for that. But today, we're in that holiday season. So if you're not careful, everything that's around you will push you, drive you. And it will make you go crazy trying to figure out how you're going to make this work or get this. Or what do I get my mother-in-law for Christmas? That's always the hardest question every year. You know, anybody else got that person in their life that you say, hey, what do you want? And they say, and it's always the same. Oh, I don't need anything. Well, that don't help me. I'm getting you something. So tell me something you want. You know, anybody else that's like a frustrating kind of conversation? You know, I look at it and I realize that, hey, look, listen, maybe that conversation doesn't need to be so focused on what's going to happen more than 30 days from now. Maybe it doesn't need to be so focused on who we're going to be after the kids get out of the house. Maybe it needs to be focused on, hey, who are we today? What do we have right now? Your babies, they grow up. Me and you, we get old. You know, time just ticks and ticks and ticks. And the Bible's saying, hey, listen, if all you do is think about what you're going to do, that's evil. You're not accomplishing anything. See, if my mind is in the future, then I'm not seizing the opportunities of today. And if my mind is in the past, well, the Bible says this, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We've said it like this several times. You'll never reach the promised land while looking in Egypt. You got to get your eyes off Egypt so you can see the promised land. They never did. They never made it. And at some point in your life, listen, you've got to get past your ex. And at some point in your life, you got to get past the years of bad credit. At some point in your life, you got to stop looking at what you've done and stop looking at what you want to happen. And you've got to look at what you can do right here by the grace of God. And to some of us, that means we need to make some phone calls of apology. To some of us, that means maybe we go home tonight, we cuddle up with our families and watch a movie. To some of us, that means, hey, you know, tonight you're not working, so you're not trying to figure out tomorrow's business. And the Bible says, why worry about tomorrow? Today has enough troubles for itself. You know, how many of you say, that is true in my life? And I believe that God was the God that always showed up on time. He's always been on time. You remember that story where Jesus shows up, Lazarus is dead, been dead 4 days. They're all bawling their eyes out in deep depression, and they're saying, had you been here, he would not died. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Then he goes to the grave, says, roll it back. He lets the guy, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus walks out, and then he tells him, loose him, let him go. You know, there's been much speculation on why Jesus cried. None of us truly know, because we're not him. But the truth is this, he was not late. He was going to come back to life, and he knew that. That authority and power lived in Christ, and he knew it. The truth is, man, isn't it hard? Isn't it hurtful when you know what God's doing in your heart, yet nobody else around you trusts you or believes in you enough that it's going to be done? And I look at it today, and I'm thinking, man, listen. What good? What good has it accomplished you to fill your mind full of worry? And what good has ever come from trying to plan out the next month of your life? What good has ever come from to-do lists for the rest of the week? You know what normally comes from a to-do list that you set for the rest of the week? At the end of the week, you have regret because you didn't accomplish it all. Because a lot of times we want to do more than we have time to do. Anybody else say that? A lot of times we want to accomplish more than we have. You know, I tell Jordan every year, I wish we could just go around Walmart and hand out $100 gift cards. You know, I wish we could. That is not possible. I don't know. If anybody in here can hand out like 10 or 12 $100 gift cards at Walmart, let's be friends. You know what I mean? Let me know when you're going to Walmart, you know, and we'll disguise us. The thing is that's not possible. So why depress myself? I may not be able to give you money, but I can sit and talk to you and listen to you. We can shake hands, we can fellowship, you can tell me your troubles, you can lay it down, and man, we can have that moment where we pray together and we go to God together, we worship together. You say, well, I'm nothing because I can't. You're everything because you have an opportunity right now to do something. And I tell people all the time, the greatest gift you can ever give another person in your life is to be present when you are with them. To let your mind be there, your eyes be there, give them your attention, give them your focus. Give them that opportunity to know that they matter. We say all the time, your greatest love organs, okay? The greatest way to display love to anyone is to give them your eyes and your ears, to show them that they're worth you looking them in the face and that you care enough to listen to what's on their hearts. And can I tell you, you may not have that moment tomorrow. So take it today. Take it right now. I've said it before, you know, one of my memories that of the last missions trip that we went on with Robert that I still find hilarious today is when we got back to Atlanta and I'm looking at Robert and Robert's like borderline depressed look on his face. And I'm like, what's going on? He's walking with his head down. He's like, we're normal again. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, nobody's looking at us. You know, you go over there. A lot of people have never seen a white person, you know. They've never seen an African-American. You walk into some of these villages and all eyes are on you and they're smiling. They want your autograph. They're walking up to you. They're all about, you pull out your phone and 100 people want to get in a selfie. You get back to Atlanta and nobody's looking up from their phones to notice that you're even walking past them. And I look at it and I'm like, man, God help us. You know, God help us. I don't know, anybody else ever get that text message in the middle of a date that you feel like you have to reply to, or you ever get that call that you feel like you have to answer? I don't know about you, but they always come at the worst times. You know, at the time you sit down for dinner or something like that. Can I say, what's it going to harm to put that in your back pocket? And just focus your heart and your mind at the blessings that are right there in front of you. They're right there around you. Don't assume that the people that you love know that you love them. You make every effort today to prove that love to them. Because I guarantee you, God doesn't assume that you know He loves you. But He's made every effort today to prove it to you. Some of you, without realizing it, encountered God's design as He put certain people in your life to encourage you. Certain messages on people's hearts to preach to you. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how many people at the end of every Sunday come up to us. And those of you that have spoke, you've heard this. They come up and it's like, you were speaking right to me and you had no clue. No clue that they needed it. No clue that they were going through anything. And yet they felt like you developed that whole message for them. Man, God is all over your life trying to prove one thing, that He loves you and He's with you. And He's going to get you through this. He's going to get you to tomorrow. He's going to make it to where, hey, even if tomorrow means you're going home and in heaven, you're still going to have a future that's secure. So why are you worried about tomorrow? Matter of fact, Proverbs says it this way. God directs the steps of the godly, so why should we worry about the process? I think about that, man, I spend a lot of times worrying about things that never happen. Anybody else do that? A lot of times planning things that never happen. And I want you to do one thing today. God wants you to do one thing today. He wants you to stop. Stop thinking that you're so permanent that the world needs you tomorrow and start realizing that they needed you today. If you're always planning tomorrow, you're never accomplishing anything today. And that means you never accomplish anything with your life. So look at this last verse. We're going to close. I'm already done. I told you to be quick this morning. I meant that was for tonight. You know? Somebody said, you lied to me. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I was giving it to you in advance. I didn't hear it and I don't want to. Verse 17. All right. I'm just kidding. Look at this last verse real quick and then we'll be done. Verse 17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Can I ask you something? If this was your final moment and you knew it, now none of us do, but let's pretend. If this was your final moment, you had an hour left in life. What would you do with that hour? How many of you would call somebody? How many of you would grab your husband, your wife, your kids? You know? How many of you would go around your friends and other things? Now listen to me. If you knew it was your final hour and immediately there's things that you would do, then I'm going to tell you this. You need to do that with your next hour. If there were things you would get made right, you need to make those right tonight. If there was lifestyles that you would lay down, if there's apologies that would be made, if there was moments of embrace, if you would walk in and kiss your wife, then maybe right now you just need to lean over and give her one. Whatever it is, you need to live as if every moment is your last and give it your best and trust that God has the next moment already held for you. He's got it planned. The Bible says it this way. He clothes the lilies, He feeds the sparrows, and if He does that for them, how much more does He have in store for you? So why are you worried about what you're going to eat or drink? You know, why are you worried about how you're going to pay off your mortgage and all these other things? Just do today what you got to do. And God will make sure that tomorrow you're honored for it. So I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes and I want you to do some searching. And I don't want you to search back through the past week of your life. I don't want you to search back through the past month of your life. I want you to search today. Today only. All right? Does everybody got it? Today only. How many things did you do today that actually mattered? That actually made a difference? That actually secured in someone's mind how much you loved them? How many things did you invest your heart into, your mind into, your life into that actually matter today? Or reverse. How many things did you do today that didn't matter at all? That in all honesty, when you look at the grand scheme of life, that they didn't accomplish anything. They're not going to leave a legacy. Nobody's going to remember it. It was almost wasted time. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Did I live today or did I waste the day? Did I seize the moment or did I let that moment pass? Now that question's not for me to know the answer, but you do. And I'm going to ask you to do something, and I want you to pray about this, and I want you to seek this, and I want you to be in God's Word with this, and I want you to take this to heart today. Tonight, He says, if we're not doing the things we know we need to do, then we're not doing what's right. We're sinning with our lives. And how many of you today would answer this question with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around? My life truly does have a greater purpose than I lived today. Would you slip your hand up? There was greater things I could have done with my life than what I accomplished today. Raise it high. Now listen, in that moment, you've got to make a decision. If you get tomorrow, which God help us, we hope you do. And if it's God's will that you wake up tomorrow, are you going to waste it? Are you going to seize the moment? And for the hours you have before you go to bed, are you going to seize those moments? Are you going to waste them too? Because you know what I believe hell is to a Christian? Now, granted, listen to me. You're never going to go to hell if you know Jesus Christ. But I will say this. It will be awful to stand before God one day. And for Him to show you what you could have done with your life if you would have just trusted and believed in Him and followed Him more. That, to me, is a thought that haunts me. Because I don't want to stand before God and realize that I missed it. I didn't even come close. I want to stand before Him. And I want to hear those words that I hope you want to hear too. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't know about you, but that's my life goal, is to stand before Him and hear those words. Anybody else say mine too? Me too. Then can I tell you what you need to do? Don't be so arrogant that you think you can wait till tomorrow to start. You need to start right now. And don't sit here tonight if you don't know Jesus Christ and think that tomorrow you can get your life right. No, get it right now. And don't say, well, tomorrow I'll try. No, start right now. The only thing holding you back from accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in your life is you, nothing else. And so tonight, let's make some decisions. So let's stand together. Let's grab somebody's hand. Brian, come play a little song. And I want you to just take a moment. And I want you just to spend that moment in prayer. We're not going to say come to the front or anything like that. But while you hold hands with somebody around you, I want you to take a moment and I want you to ask God to reveal to you what it is that you need to do in this moment. What opportunity is here? And I'm being serious tonight. Some of you, there's people in this auditorium that need you. Today, there was one lady leaving and one lady coming in my office, and I said, hey, you, meet you. You know why? And I told them both, because you need each other. You need each other. So in that moment, I realized this. I could see it and I knew it, but they could really benefit each other's lives. One of them has been through what the other is going through, and one of them, man, it would make them come alive to help that other person, and I know that that's their heart's desire. You know what amazed me? Had we not taken that moment and said, you meet you, they would have come within feet of each other and never known just how much they need each other. And I wonder how many people pass us every day. Have you ever thought about this? How many people will go to hell that were literally at some point in your life less than an arm length away? And you didn't know their name and you didn't know who they were, and because of that, you just let them pass. And the truth is, they needed you. They needed you that in that moment you would care enough to stop and tell them that God loves them. Arm length away. And we'll spend an eternity totally separated. I don't know about you, but does that not get you tonight? So right now, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and nobody. Will you seek Him? And will you ask Him, God, what is it you want me to do before I leave Grace Community Church today? God, is there anybody that you want me to talk to? Anybody that you want me to encourage? God, what is it you want me to do before I lay my head on my pillow tonight? God, who is it that you need me to call? God, what does my wife need so desperately to hear come out of my mouth today? What does my husband need me to say that's going to make him come alive? God, what is it that before my eyes close, before this day ends, you want me to accomplish? God, what is it? And in that moment, as you ask, I promise he'll answer. If you seek him, you will find your purpose in the moment. And as he reveals, you have to make a commitment. You have to determine in your heart that you will do it. You will do it. You will say it. You will go. You will call. Whatever it is, you're gonna make sure. Hey, right now, you fulfill your purpose. But you fulfill your call. Because you never know. Never know what somebody's going to go through in the next 3 hours. We don't know as a church how many wives walk home from church or get home from church and in that same day get beat, abused. We don't know what children go home and get taken advantage of. We don't know who goes home and toys with the thoughts of suicide. We don't know who goes home and faces literal hell on earth. We don't know. What we do know is we have the truth, don't we? We have the life. We have living in us the answer that they so desperately need. And God, help us to share it so that they never go home alone. That they never walk through it without knowing that God loves them. That maybe in that still small, that small moment where Satan's trying to rob the earth of what God's trying to do in their life, that your voice and your encouragement, your smile, your hug comes ringing in and it keeps them going just a little further. Can we just kind of realize today that life is so fragile and we ignore that so often? And we let too many moments pass. And it's time for the church to say, no longer will we take it so insignificantly, that lives matter, the truth matters, and we will seize the moment. And in God's name, we will be an active army, an active life, an active Christ follower who is willing to do whatever God wants us to do whenever He calls us to do it. And I don't know about you, tonight, God, that is my prayer. So God, I ask you if you would use us. God, call us. Raise us up. God, help us to be kingdom-minded and driven by the things that drive you, not the things that drive the world. Help us to love like you love and to work like you work, to do the things you're willing to do. God, if we're the body, help us to reach where we're supposed to. And may lives be drawn to you as a result. In Jesus' name. Tonight before we leave, I feel led to do something, and I don't want to embarrass this family. But one of our pastors and their family has, man, had a long road when it comes to jobs, and many of you have. But tomorrow, Pastor David gets to start his new job that we've been praying for. We're excited. They've had a very, very hard year. Can I? All three of those, David, Kimberly, and Emma, would y'all just come stand here? Is that okay, right? Now, I know they're not the only ones, okay? Many of you have had hard years too, and you've gone through some financial hurts. They've had a lot of deaths and unexpected things happen in their lives. And like I said, I don't want to embarrass them, but I will say this. I think Satan is trying to tear this family apart. But I believe that in in God's name, in Jesus' name, man, there's some great plans for all three of these right here. And we're excited, yes, for what God's doing in David's life, but I want to surround them as a church tonight. Can we do that? And I want us to just pray not only over his job, but for some healing. Kimberly, in the past year and a half, 2 years, has lost both parents. Her son's kind of gone. Had a niece murdered. Emma's got a lot of things that she's been dealing with within her own life. And Satan's trying to... Can we just say that Satan's trying to tell this girl she's not pretty? Do y'all disagree with that? She's beautiful. Tonight, I feel like maybe we just kind of close. We've already prayed, okay? Right now, I'm going to ask Brian to pray and play, and I just want you to spend time praying over them. And then when you're done, I want you to speak life and encouragement into them, and not just in this moment. Carry them with you, you know? There's a prophet one time in the scriptures that said, I'm the only one that's not willing to bow to that idol. I'm the only one that's not going to worship that false god. And God showed up and said, you're not the only one. There's thousands, thousands all around you, 7,000, willing to stand and proclaim. I think sometimes we need to grab our own church family and say, you're not alone in this. We got your back. We'll kick Satan's tail for you. You know, and I know there's many of you that are right here in this group that have struggled with the same things. I look around and I see so many stories, kids that have gone through things this year, and families that have fought things, and you know, loss of jobs, and trying to secure your future with schooling and different things, and all kinds of hurts and pains. And man, can I tell you this? Hey, listen, it's hard to stand on your own, and that's why there's a church, so that you never have to, so that you know that God is with you, and so are we. And I think it's important that we speak life into each other. So tonight, let's just spend some time doing that. I'll do it. I'll lead us in a prayer. You pray right now, wherever you are. And then after, let's just spend some time encouraging everybody here tonight, especially this family. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. And you're a good God. And God, we know. We know. These three standing here have some of the best hearts I've ever seen. God, they know how to love others. And they do. They do it well. God, Satan's trying to hurt their heart. He's trying to rob their joy, their confidence. God, we're not going to let that happen. We know you're not going to let that happen. And we bind this family in Jesus' name. And we ask that right now that you will just raise them higher, that this job that you provided, God, may it be a long-lasting source of peace in their life. But God, I pray that you will heal hurts, that you will set them free, that you will unite them like never before. God, I pray that tonight you will heal their hurts. Let them see how loved they are, not just by you, but by those that stand around them tonight. God, I pray that you will use their lips to lift them up. Help them to know just how much they mean to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone